The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced for decades.
We have asked everyone in Wales to make changes in the way we live our lives.
Stay at home during this pandemic.
Welcome to Journos in Lockdown,
a podcast created by trainee broadcast journalists who are learning to report in a global pandemic.
As we've not been able to go out and meet journalists, we've decided to bring them to you and ask them what challenges coronavirus has brought them
and what the future of journalism might look like.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Journos in Lockdown with me, Evan Hall. Recently, I spoke with Andrea Byrne, ITV Wales's newscaster and journalist. Andrea spoke about many things, including the changing dynamic of a newsroom as a result of the coronavirus, how lockdown has affected her, as well as some great advice for aspiring journalists. Anyhow, let's get on with the episode.
Andrea Byrne, welcome to Journos in Lockdown, and thank you very much for joining us. Just a basic question to start off, really, is how has the coronavirus impacted on you specifically in terms of broadcasting, and what have you found challenging?
Oh, well, we could go on all day, couldn't we, with that question? Well, I guess the first thing is, on a professional level, it's a huge story for us to cover as journalists, probably quite possibly the biggest story we will cover as journalists. And frustratingly, you can't cover it in the usual creative ways which you would. So usually we'd be out and about, as we were doing with the floods only back in February. You know, we were doing big OBs, big outside broadcast programmes, throwing everything at it, visually, journalistically, editorially, guests here, there and everywhere on location. Of course, we can't do any of that. It's really, really hard with the social distancing rules to even do our normal job. But thank goodness we were classed as public service and broadcasters, so key workers, so we were able to carry on doing our job. So the hardest thing has been finding creative and innovative ways to do that with a skeleton staff and still tell the story that needs telling, I guess. That's on a professional level. And then on a personal level, as with everybody else, we're all juggling, aren't we, in a way, you know, commitments that we've got back home with commitments we've got in work, for instance. So I guess for lots of people working here, there's childcare things you've got to juggle as well as coming to work. And then there's people who are on their own who are struggling with the isolation and the loneliness. So everybody, I think I had the analogy that we're all in this storm together, but we're all in different boats. So we've all got unique situations and problems to deal with alongside the professional side of it.
So have you been working from home, like, remotely? Have you, like, because I've realised with some ITV correspondents, I know that Julie Etchingham put it on her Instagram recently, been like rehearsing dummy bulletins at home. Have you been doing that?
Well, yeah, I saw that too, because I follow Julie and I know Julie, and I saw that, and I went straight to my bosses here and I said, oh, are we going to be doing that? And I think one of the differences, I guess, is that we haven't crossed that bridge yet, because we do have an alternative. If we can't broadcast from here for some reason, we can have alternative plans in broadcasting from another region if we want to. There's other plans in place if we can't broadcast from Assembly Square for reasons because of the virus or something else. But with National, of course, they don't have those other regions that they can fall back on and other facilities they can use. So I guess it's more urgent that they develop a backup plan. But for now, we've got alternative things in place that we'll be able to go to. So no, I haven't yet got a green screen or a virtual studio at home, but I would quite like one.
I was going to say, would you like to give it a go? Yeah.
I would. And interestingly, one of our reporters, our health reporter, actually did some graphics the other day on a chroma key at home using a green tarpaulin, which he'd got probably for a barbecue cover or something. But he did a really great chroma key for his package and his graphics. So, you know, it can be easily done. Hopefully you can impose different backgrounds on, and, you know, hopefully there is a way of doing that if we need to do it. So it's bringing out, as you probably know, it's bringing out all sorts of creativity in people, isn't it?
Well, in terms of, like, you sort of mentioned already that there's like a real skeleton staff in the newsroom itself, you know, has the atmosphere and the dynamic changed in the newsroom, like, massively?
Yes, that's an interesting one. I don't think you get that same initial adrenaline buzz if there's some breaking news happening, because usually when you're all in that newsroom together, you've got phones going everywhere, you've got people talking to traffic where things are coming in and out the building, you've got network calling you to get an update, and all these things are going on around you. But all these things, of course, still are going on. They're just going on individually in people's homes where they're all working from home and fitting into that jigsaw puzzle. So maybe not in the same way do you get that buzz in the newsroom. Yeah, it's just a different, it's a different way of working, isn't it? I think that sometimes it's nice that you do have a bit of calm when a story breaks, because it means you've got more scope to be able to talk to your programme editor one-to-one, at a social distance, of course, because you're in the building together. So there are advantages, because sometimes you've just got that time to breathe and pause and think what is important in this story, and without that kind of hectic buzz going at you all the time as you go to on air.
So in terms of ITV, I just want a couple of ITV type of questions, really. So ITV has a real big emphasis on live reporting. So is it harder to facilitate things like live reporting in a time like this as such?
Yes and no. What we do is we use our live view facility a lot, so we don't need to necessarily use the satellite trucks. So we can send that out with any of our reporters and with any of our camera operators. So we're using the live view facility on the camera rather than having to take the truck and take more people to the location and more technical staff. So that's really come into its own. It was coming into its own before this, but it's being used even more now, of course. And we're doing a lot more down the line guests using that live view facility, and the interviews will often be longer. So I don't know whether you've seen any of the programme recently, but the interviews that we're doing with the health experts, for instance, on the programme, or economic experts or intensive care doctors, et cetera, will just be a little bit longer than you're used to. But actually, it doesn't necessarily feel that way. I think they fly by still. And that's because at the moment we're living in this age of the information people want. It's so important. We could ask questions of an ITU doctor or health expert for hours. There's so many questions to answer at the moment, isn't there? So we're actually making our programme more live in that respect, because we're doing longer live interviews and things like that. And live view means our reporters can still be on location where it's safe to be on location.
And in terms of, obviously, you are losing these live elements a lot more, and I've been seeing that as well. But one thing I wanted to pick up on is live elements you have in a programme, for example, like you sort of mentioned, you could have an economic expert or a medical expert, etc. And then one example I'm plucking out of my head that I remember seeing was a couple of weeks ago, I think Jonathan Hill did a piece with the Welsh National Orchestra within one, like a medical episode to that. Do you find that hard to switch between the different tones and styles? Because you've gone from really something really serious to something really lighthearted in maybe the space of 10 minutes.
I suppose it can be a little bit of a challenge. There's always that gear change to consider, and you've got to make sure you make that gear change appropriately as a presenter, always. But actually, I think the beauty of our programme in ITV is that we do have that light and shade. It's always been a programme that's got warmth to it. And that's why we have Ruth in the studio, so we can have chat to her about the weather. That's why we've got all these other elements that we can bring in to bring that ITV warmth. And I think it's really important that we keep those elements going. So we are doing those hopeful fundraising stories as well, and we are doing those good news stories, I think, which give people that optimism, because we all need a bit of that at the moment. I don't think it's healthy for anyone. It's Mental Health Awareness Week this week. It's really important that we disconnect from the bad news and the negative as well in this pandemic, and we all need to connect with good news as well. It's really important for us.
So do you think, in essence, then, that the COVID-19 is dominating the news agenda, and there could be some more flexibility for other type of lighter material?
The virus as a whole, as a story, is dominating our news agenda, but that doesn't mean it all has to be the heavy stats and the really clearly tragic stories of death that we're hearing. I don't think a half-hour programme, you can sustain that for people. People need to have that light and shade in the running order. So yes, you rarely see a story in the run order that isn't related to the virus, but it doesn't mean it all has to be in one vein.
So my last type of question on the coronavirus as such and how it's impacting you is, in terms of going forward, is the standards and dynamic going to change in the industry?
Very interesting. I don't think we know yet, but I do think that we will get back to... I don't think it means that all interviews are going to be on Skype. I don't think it means that all interviews are going to be remote. And we're not going to get back to that feel that we had before. But I do think it means that we'll be working from home more where we can. I think that's something that will stay around. And I think that's a good thing. And I think it probably could have taken decades for us to change that otherwise. So there are some good things coming out of this. You talked about standards. I don't think the standards will drop. And I don't think I suppose you're talking in visually, are you, in terms of
Yeah, I was trying to say, like, you know, for example, you know, we could be, an argument, for example, might be that a broadcaster who's based in Cardiff might be Cardiff-based, but they could have a case study from Mid Wales, for example, that type of dynamic.
Yes, I suppose in a sense it means we can, because there is this option of doing more home working and doing more remote interviews and using more Skype interviews, we're perfecting all that technology more now, but it gives us more scope to get around the country, I guess, and in terms of standards of getting around the country, that hopefully will only improve, I think, because it means people don't have to necessarily come to us, or we don't necessarily have to go to them. They can just connect to us virtually. So it's lots of things are shifting, aren't they? I think that some things are shifting for the better and will be here to stay. And hopefully what will happen is we'll kind of pick out the things which were the good things to come out of this and weed out the things which we were only doing because we had to for the sake of the circumstances we were in. And that's going to take some time to evolve, I think. So maybe we'll know where we are in 12 months' time with what has changed and what hasn't changed. But hopefully it means that the improvements that we do make will be all the better for the industry.
So moving away now from COVID, let's talk about some advice for trainees and students who are currently out there wanting to get into the industry. So I just wanted to start off with another basic one, really, is what's the best piece of advice you've been given or maybe you could give to us?
Oh, well, one piece of advice I was given when in my early days of journalism, and I don't think this is strictly related to journalism, but I think sometimes you do have to have quite a thick skin, don't you, in this industry, because it's very competitive. And I was always told never to believe my worst critics or my best compliments, because usually neither of those. Usually there's some other reason for those things and there's something else behind them or whatever. And so never get too tied up in either of those ends of the spectrum. And just concentrate on what you're doing and doing it well in a fair, balanced and accurate way and telling those stories well.
You obviously began your career in radio and then moved to telly, and obviously you've been in telly ever since. Did you find that experience quite valuable?
Yes. The industry is changing, and I think probably now you'd be talking about podcasts and all sorts of other things, wouldn't you? But for me, radio was really valuable. I know a lot of my colleagues who are now working in ITV started in radio. And perhaps prior to radio and that kind of generation, it was newspapers, wasn't it? So I think that's kind of evolving all the time. But for me, radio was a really good ground, particularly, I would say, for presenting, because, you know, it literally did help me find my voice. And lead me into where I wanted to go. I sort of knew from quite early on that I liked the presenting side of things, and I did have a strong enough voice for that type of thing. So it gave me some kind of direction, I suppose, of where things might lead further down the line.
Well, funny enough, you've linked very nicely into my next question, which is literally advice on presenting. And I know people who may listen to this podcast are aspiring presenters in whatever form or fashion. What, you sort of touched on it already, but what advice, or is there anything you think which is really important when presenting, which maybe people could learn from?
Yeah, there's lots of tips and tricks, I suppose. A lot of those come as you go through your years presenting, which you just pick up as you go along. I think one of the most important things you need to remember is that people kind of feel that they're your friend. They're listening to you on the radio and every day, and some people might be one of their only lifelines if they're of an older generation, and if they're watching you on the telly every night, you're in their living room every evening. They really do feel like you are and part of their family and part of their life, and it's really important that when we think about our journalism, we remember that trust and that relationship of trust is so important. So I know it's basic and it's what you learn when you're in college straight away, but when you're thinking about your journalism and thinking about that trust and the privilege we have to be so much part of people's lives, we just have to keep maintaining our standards, and our standards are making sure things are fair and balanced and accurate, because if we don't have that, we don't have the trust and we don't have the privilege to keep being part of people's lives and telling their stories. I also think, probably on a more practical note, that's probably a more moral and ethical note, but on a practical note, you've got to develop a skill for filtering out the noise. So you'll know when you're on air and you've got your earpiece in, when we're talking about TV, that in the gallery you'll be able to hear everything that's going on. So all hell could be breaking loose in the gallery. But you really need to develop that skill for filtering out what's important for you as a presenter, because you can get very distracted by things that aren't important to that situation, to you, instructions to lots of other people. And you need to be thinking to yourself, what do I need to know for what I need to present next, what I need to say next? So you need to just be thinking of your script, the words that you're going to say next, and you need to listen to the director. The director is all important. They're the person who is conducting this orchestra, and their final word goes, and you need to listen just for them saying your name, giving you instruction. But filter out the rest, and while that's all going on, just think, right, think three steps ahead. What could happen next? There's this situation. It sounds like the satellite truck's going down. What could that mean I have to do next? Because I'm not going to get this and I'm not going to get that. So concentrate on you, what's important to you, and what you are going to say to the public next if this all goes wrong.
So there's a big emphasis on trust between you, the gallery, and all the component parts in some respect.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it. And we've got a great team at ITV, and I certainly couldn't do without all of them. They're fantastic. And it's exactly what you say. You've got to, I was talking about trust earlier on between you and the audience. It's equally the same between you and people in the gallery. You know that, I talked about the orchestra, and it's exactly that. You know that it's being conducted and everyone knows which instrument they're playing and which part they're playing to get the performance to come together.
So I come to my last two questions, really. And again, and maybe another daft, quite silly question, but how much luck and graft is needed to get to somewhere like where you are today?
Yeah, it depends how you look at life, doesn't it? I'm quite a believer in fate to a large degree, but I'm also a believer in hard work. And I think sometimes these things are luck and timing, and you do have to be in the right place at the right time. But you probably wouldn't have that success if you hadn't put in that hard work as well. So it's a combination, in my opinion. You do need to keep pushing, and it might not be your time that month or that year, but suddenly you'll push and that door will be an open door, and it'll be your time, and it'll be all that hard work you put in building up to that, which at the time you might think, oh, it's not happened again, or I'm not getting this again, I'm not getting this break, but suddenly something will happen, and all that hard work, it will pay off at the time that's meant for you.
So my last question then, and I've been doing this on the other podcasts I've been doing, it's a light-hearted round. I've got a range of questions here. A couple of them are either-ors or a straight answer. If you could answer them as quick as you can.
No pressure.
And I'll maybe pick up on a couple of points depending on what you say.
Okay.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
One thing you're missing or craving during this lockdown?
Family, my mum.
Pen and notebook or iPad type of person?
iPad probably now.
Ooh, first person to say that. Funniest moment in broadcasting?
Funniest moment. When I was due to interview the astrologer Russell Grant, and just before air, he told me that my relationship was doomed.
Biggest unintended mistake?
Oh goodness, I'm not sure I've got an unintended mistake. I have to come back to that one.
Okay, we'll come back to that one. Memorable moment as a trainee?
Memorable moment as a trainee. Oh, gosh, these are hard ones. I'm going to have to wrap my brains and take my mind back now. Memorable moment as a trainee. Oh, la, 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 la. It's not specifically as a trainee, but it was a learning curve for me. I did a lot of military stuff very early on in my career. And one of the golden rules when you're on an airfield, which they call on a military airfield particularly, when you've got the apron, is that you can't let any, no debris obviously can be on that runway, even the tiniest of things that they're very wary of. And I had rather an embarrassing moment where a gust of wind caught all the scripts on my clipboard, which went all over the apron behind another live presentation. So I learned my lesson fairly rapidly about the very distinct rules on airfields.
That's a good one. Do you prefer to present a programme on your own or co-present?
Depends on the nature of the programme.
If we're taking a news bulletin, for example, we'll
that's tricky because John Hill might be watching it and he'll get offended.
Do you miss presenting?
Oh, I'm probably on a bit of a power trip, and I like to, you know, be in control in the driving seat on the news. It's nice in that respect. Yeah, sometimes.
Best interview you've done?
Prince Harry.
Ooh, was he any good?
Oh, he was great. He was really great. It was before Meghan and before, when he just started to do interviews on his own, actually, and I was only allowed three questions, which were checked by all security in advance and the press officers, etc. at the time, because they were quite wary of doing things on his own. But then he just decided to just start chatting to me about his favourite movies and all of this. And he was a great guy. So yeah, what you see is what you get, I think, with Prince Harry.
Broadcasting dream?
Oh, I'd love to for one day only host This Morning. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
that's different.
just for something completely different from news.
Favourite location?
That I've presented from?
You can interpretate it how you want.
Okay. One of my favourite locations then is the Glenusk Estate in Powys, which is where I got married.
Ooh. Current series binge?
Peaky Blinders. And we're very behind, because I know this was a big thing years ago, but we decided we needed a long lockdown series with lots of episodes. We're doing Peaky Blinders at the moment.
How far are you in?
I think we're just about to finish. So we're nearly at the end of series five.
Have you enjoyed it?
Love it. The production values are so high on it as well.
And my last question then, describe your career in three words.
Ooh, gosh, that's a good one. Privileged, eclectic, and I suppose lucky, fortunate and lucky.
I was hoping you were going to say another E then, because when we asked this to Adrian Masters, he said three things beginning with E, so I was hoping you were going to sort of follow trend. But obviously,
oh gosh, see, I'm not that forward-thinking.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I know it's really busy for you at the moment, and thank you very much for taking the time. It's greatly appreciated.
And really, really good questions. They got me thinking.
Thanks very much.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks.
You're listening to Journos in Lockdown.
And that's all we have time for today. Thanks to Andrea for her time in answering my questions. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're at Lockdown Journos, and we'd love to hear from you on the series so far. Anyhow, in the meantime, stay safe and look forward to the next episode on Friday, where Hannah speaks to BBC's health correspondent, Fergus Walsh. But for now, goodbye.